الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our discussion about المسح على الحائل the issue of المسح على الحائل wiping on a barrier and we have seen that which the people of knowledge they intend with regards to this is a number of affairs a number of masail, and at the head of them and the foundation with regards to that is wiping on the khufain, the leather socks, and we have seen that which is related to that. And likewise, along with that, wiping on the regular socks, those are that are from cotton and from wool, so on and so forth. And also along with this topic is wiping on the turban, wiping on the imama for the men, and as well wiping on the khimar for the women. So these are the issues that have preceded, and there is one last mas'ala related to this particular subject, and that is al-mashu ala al-jabira, al-mashu ala al-jabira, wiping on al-jabira. Originally, the people of knowledge they mentioned akshabun aw nahwaha tuḍa'u ala al-kasri liyanjabir. That would be wood, and it would be boards and the likes like this of wood. That will be placed on the bones or on the body, in order for the break and the bones to be mended. So this is the origin with regards to this. Originally, the jabira, if a person he had a broken bone, then they would take two pieces of wood on each side, and then they would wrap them together tight in order for the bone to mend and to heal back straight in this manner. To heal back straight in this manner. So this is the origin with regards to the jabira. But likewise, every other bandage that could be used in a similar manner, even like the cast, likewise, as well that we have today, all of this will take the same ruling. All of this will fall under the same ruling. Likewise, bandages, and likewise the wraps, the medical wraps, and the tape, and the band-aids, and so on and so forth. All of these affairs here, they will be under this chapter. So if a person he had a cast on, for example, what is the ruling with regards to this? Or if a person he had bandages on, what is the ruling for this? Or if a person he had a wrap around his body, and we're talking about, of course, here with regards to the wudu, any meaning around the body parts of al-wudu, but it could be understood more generally. Likewise, even if it was not on the place of wudu, whenever it comes to the ghusl. So this is the issue now. If he has a cast, or if he has bandages, or if he has a wrap on the body part that should be washed, and the likes like this, then what is the ruling for that? The ruling is that it's allowed to wipe on this, but there are some principles with regards to this and conditions and requirements in order for it to be considered proper. So first we have seen with the rest of the issues, they were based upon the first topic, and that was wiping on the leather socks. And we have seen the conditions with regards to that. And from the first and the greatest conditions is that one will not put the socks on and except after having complete tahara with water. So if you put the socks on before that, he will not be allowed to wipe on them. And if he did not put the socks on while he was upon complete tahara with water, it would not be permissible to wipe on them. We have seen this. So this yani that we wear them, that they are worn, ala kamala tahara al-ma'iyya, and this was the condition for the permissibility of wiping on the socks. So is that the case here? Is that the case here with regards to the jabira? Would it be a condition in order to wipe on the bandage, or in order to wipe on the cast, or in order to wipe on the band-aid, so on and so forth? Would it be a condition that it has to be put on while a person is upon tahara? This is the issue here. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned yes, but Allah knows best what is correct and strongest in the scale of evidence, yani based upon the wisdom behind this, is that it is it's not a condition. And this is because no doubt this is similar to the issue of the khuf, but the khuf, one he will wear that, the best that one could say is that it's for a need. and he has a need to wear it because of a difficulty going throughout his day. Maybe his foot is, maybe it's cold outside, or maybe he has to wear the khuf to protect his feet, so on and so forth. So there he has it. Therefore, he has a type of need to wipe on that. So therefore, it's legislated and lawful. But with regards to the jabira and that which is similar to the jabira, then this is not a need. Rather, this is a necessity. Rather, this is a necessity. So the issue is different. And likewise, possibly if we made this a condition for a person to be able to wipe on the jibira, that first, before he puts it on, or before it's placed on him, that he has to be upon tahara, delaying putting it on, or even going through the process of making the tahara, could actually possibly cause the wound to become greater, or delay the healing, and it could cause problems. If any, for example, if he had a broken bone, and the doctors, they want to put some cast or do some work on that, and the likes like that, he says, "No, hold on, I have to make tahara," and then he's delayed, and then possibly in doing that, he hurts himself trying to make it to the water or use the water, and the likes like this, it could make situations worse. So for these reasons, Allah knows best. What is what is strongest in this opinion is that it's not an obligation. If a person, he's able to make tahara and then put it on, alhamdulillah, he can do that. And that would be better in order to avoid the difference of opinion, but it's not a condition. Any meaning, especially if he was not able to. Sometimes also another wisdom and reason why this is the strongest opinion is because many times these affairs happen suddenly, and he finds himself in danger, or suddenly he's hurt, and it's not something that he was expected. So because of these issues here, that it happens suddenly, and because it happens, and it could delay a person and cause him to hurt himself, or to delay the healing of the wound, so on and so forth. Because of these affairs here, it's not a condition. It's not a condition. Whether if he put it on while he had tahara or he did not have tahara, it would be allowed for him to wipe on that. And Allah knows best, because this is a state of necessity. So therefore, this is not a condition. And Allah knows best. What is a condition in order to wipe on the jabira, and that which has the ruling of the jabira, is that it will be for a need. He will only wear it because of a need. He will not have a band-aid or a wrap or a cast, for example, and there's no need for that. He will not have it on a simple cut or a small wound or something that is minor or something that will not harm him, something that is not major. He will have a need to cover that body part. He will have a need to wrap it. He will have an actual wound and a reason and a need for that, if not a necessity. He will have to have a need for that. It can't just be for any light or simple reason that he happens to just cover the body part with a wrap or with a band-aid or with some medical tape or a cast or the likes like these affairs without any real need or necessity. So from the evidences of this is that which has proceeded from the hadith of Thawban that we had taken in the previous class, radiallahu anhu. And he says, بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سرية فأمرهم أن يمسحوا على العصائب والتساخين. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sent out a military brigade. And he told them to wipe on the عصائب and on التساخين. And we have seen yesterday that the عصائب, there's a number of interpretations from that. And from them is that the عصائب, they are the عمائم. They are the ama'im. And this was an evidence for that which has preceded. But also we've seen as well that some of the people of knowledge mentioned that rather the asa'ib, kullu ma'usiba bihi aras, everything that is wrapped around the head, even for example like bandages and so on and so forth. So whether it was an imamah that a person is wearing as this is his custom, or if it was a bandage that he was wearing around his head likewise, this is all understood from this word. Yani the asa'ib is the plural of isaba. And the isaba literally is something that is wrapped. Something that will be wrapped. So, فَكُلُّ مَعُصِبَ بِهِ الرَّاسِ يُسَمَّ عِصَابَ. So this is the case. So some of the people of knowledge, they have used this general evidence here to verify this, and to mention this affair. Also, it has been collected by Ibn Abi Shaybah في مصنفه from the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he said, "Man kana bihi jurhun, man kana bihi jurhun ma'subun fa khashiya al-anata falyamsah ma hawluhu wa la yaghsilhu." Man kana bihi jurhun ma'sub. Ibn Umar, he mentioned himself, had a hadith al-mawquf, atharu mawqufun ala ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And this is from his statement radiallahu anhuma and his understanding. He mentioned that whoever has a wound that is wrapped up, whoever has a wound, yani jurhun ma'sub, that's wrapped up with the isaba, meaning with the bandage, and he's afraid of harm. He's afraid of harm, meaning that if he were to take off the bandage and to wash it, so on and so forth, then let him wipe around the bandage and not wash it. Then let him wipe around the bandage and not wash it. So this is likewise from the evidences of the Jabira, and it's something that is understood from the general evidence here of the in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise from the statement of this noble companion radiyallahu anhu, and also the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, as well as an evidence for this al-qiyas al-awla. We have talked about this before, any briefly, and al-qiyas in general is from al-adilla al-shar'iyya, al-qiyas al-sahih, which is a correct analogy that the people of knowledge, they will make whenever they have a fundamental principle in the deen that they will compare to another issue that there's no clear text for. And they will find that this other issue has many similarities and no differences with regards to that fundamental principle. So therefore they'll compare them together in this aspect and give the one that's being compared to the origin, the hukum and the ruling of the original principle. The hukum and the ruling of the original principle. This is called the qiyas. This is called the qiyas. And if it is correct and the conditions are met, then it is considered an evidence and it is considered a proof. And from that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he was asked about the woman who her mother passed and she had an oath she had made to fast, she said, "Should I make those days up for my mother?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Ara'aiti law kanat ala ummiki daynun akunti qadhiyatahu?" Do you not see if your mother, she had a debt to pay, would you not pay it for her? And she said, of course. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Daynullahi ahaqqu an yuqda," that the debt of Allah is more rightful to be paid. It's more rightful to be paid. So here, this is an evidence of the qiyas, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used this same understanding. So this is a proof here. So there's different types of qiyas. There's different types of analogy. The one that we're discussing is called Qiyas al-Awla. Qiyas al-Awla. And this is whenever the thing that's being compared to the original ruling has more right to take that ruling. Al-Far lahu al-Far awla bil-hukmi min al-Asl. And yakun al-Far'u awla bil-hukmi min al-Asl. So here we have the origin is the khuf and the permissibility of wiping on the khuf. And this is lawful. As we have seen before, the most that we could say is it's for a type of need that a person, he might find himself in. And we wouldn't say this is a necessity, that he has to wipe. And if he didn't wipe, he's going to lose a ligament, or he's going to find himself in a major hardship and difficulty. Rather, it's just a need. And it's ease that's facilitated in the religion. And no doubt it's a beautiful ruling and benefit for the believer. But it's not a necessity. As for the jabira, as for the bandage or the cast and the likes like this, and this is something that's a necessity, so therefore it has more right to that ruling even than the khuf itself. So therefore from this aspect it's proper to compare it in this manner and to make the qiyas al-awla, and therefore it takes the ruling, the same ruling, it's allowed any in general, that it's allowed to wipe on it. So this is what the people of knowledge, they have mentioned with regards to this. Also from the conditions as well, is that the bandage or the cast or the jabira, it must not go beyond the hajah. It must not be placed on the body part in a manner that it goes beyond the need. For example, if a person, he had a wound on his arm, yani a wound, for example, 2-inch wound on his arm, he would not be able to cover the whole arm if that's not needed. He would not put a wrapping around from his elbow to his wrist and then be able to wipe on all of that, because it's just a 2-inch cut. So rather what would be allowed is for him to wrap the area around the cut, yani, and beyond the cut just briefly enough to make sure that the cut is covered. Just briefly enough to make sure that the wound is covered. So he will not cover up other parts of the body that's an obligation to be washed when there's no need for that. Rather, that is not allowed. And if that were to happen, and it's possible to fix it and to remove that extra portion, it's an obligation to do that. It's an obligation to do that. If, for example, he had a break on his arm, he had a break on his wrist, and then the doctors, they put some long cast on all the way up to his elbow, and there's no need for that. And if you ask him why you did that, they said, we had no other cast at the moment. Or whatever the case may be. They made a mistake. They put a cast on that's way too long, way more than he needs. So he could have sufficed with a cast on his hand and on his wrist, but they put a big long one all the way up to his elbow, and he doesn't need that. So now this is a problem for him whenever he wants to make wudu. So it's allowed for him to put the cast on and to wipe on that, but only in the area that's needed. It's not allowed for the jabira to go beyond the place that's needed. And this is in general, yani, with regards to these affairs. Al-mahdur, yani, to qadr bi-qadriha, the things that are impermissible in general, that in certain circumstances they become allowed because of extreme hardships or necessity, it's only allowed according to the need and the necessity. He can't go beyond that. He cannot go beyond that. So this is an example of that. So therefore, this person here, if it's possible for him to remove that and put it back on, or to remove the portion that's not needed, it's an obligation to do that. If it's possible for him to remove that and put it back on properly, or to remove the portion that's not needed, if it's possible for him to do that without harming himself, or without making the wound, without endangering himself or causing the wound need to prolong and healing and the likes like this, if there's no harm or no danger in that, it's an obligation to remove the extra part. It's an obligation to remove the extra part that is not needed. As for in the case if now it's already on, and the doctors say, or it's well known that if he were to try to remove it, it could harm him even more. It could harm him even more. Now, at this time, that extra part itself becomes a darura. The extra part itself now becomes a darura. So now he has no other option except that he will wipe on it. Except that he will wipe on it like he wiped on the one before. Except that he will wipe on it like he wiped on normal. Now he's stuck in a situation. He has no way out. So therefore, now that extra part likewise is also considered a darura. Yani the darura, the necessity, was only for the area that's wounded. But then once it's already put on, and now if he were to take it off, now it will harm him or delay the healing and the likes like this, put him in harm's way and be difficult in this manner like this. Now that extra part as well has become a darura. So therefore he will treat it like the original jabira. And he will wipe on it. So here we have two conditions for the jabira. What were they? First, what is the jabira? What are we talking about?
Like a splint.
A splint or a cast or any bandage. Wait. Any type of bandage. Huh?
The wood.
This is the splint. Yeah, they call it a splint in English. The wood that they use. This is the splint where they put two pieces of wood or two boards or two things on each side, and they wrap it and tighten it down. This is the jabira. Likewise, any other bandage or any other band-aid or any other wrapping and the likes like this, medical wrap, all of this takes the same reason. Yani, whenever the body part is covered because of a wound. Whenever the body part is covered because of a wound. This is what the topic is. So the origin is the jibira, and then everything else is under that taking the same ruling. So we mentioned three points. The first one was not included, and the second two are conditions. What was the first one that's not included? Just to emphasize. Before that, we mentioned three conditions, and then we realized one of them is actually not a condition. That you put the jabira on upon tahara. You don't have to do this. This is in the best opinion, and Allah knows best because of what has preceded. It's not a condition. If it's better, if it's possible, a person to be upon wudu and the likes like this, when he puts it on, alhamdulillah, that's all good. But he wouldn't make the kalluf. He wouldn't go to extremes. He wouldn't put himself in a hardship. And if he was not upon tahara when it was put on, he can still wipe on it. And Allah knows best. He can still wipe on it, and Allah knows best. But in order to wipe on it, there are two conditions that are considered. And they are? That there's a need for it. There's a need or a necessity. a great need to have the bandage, to have the jibira, or a necessity, which is even more. Yani, do we know the difference between the hajj and the darura? Yani, this is important likewise in the likes of these affairs. Yani, the people of Nara, they talk about the hajj and they talk about the darura. There's a difference. So sometimes in English, the words, yani, they get lost in the translation or the understanding maybe. But literally the hajj, it means a need, and the durura, it means a necessity. But a lot of times we might say the same words in the same context in English. He's in a need or he's in necessity. But in reality here, there's a in the understanding of the fuqaha, there's a difference between a haja and a durura. There's a difference between a need and a necessity. So a need is something that, yani, there's a hardship if he was not able to perform it. But he's not going to, it's not going to harm him. It's not going to harm him. It's something need that if he was able to establish it, is good for him, and it's a means to remove a hardship or difficulty. But it's not going to harm him. It's not going to harm him or put him in harm's way if he were to fall into that. It's something that is needed, and it's a means to remove a hardship, and to remove a difficulty, and to avoid that. But if he fell into it, it's not going to put him actually in harm's way. As for the darura, the people of Nadas, they mentioned this is whenever a person, he is afraid of the durura, of the necessity, that if he fell into it, he might lose a body part or lose his life. He's afraid that he might lose a body part or lose his life. And yeah, now he's in a state of durura. Now he's in a state of necessity. So what is permissible for one is not permissible for others. So this is a much higher level of need, the durura and the necessity. So in any case, yani the jibira, he has to at least have this haji. He has to at least have this need. He has to at least have a need for it. And if it's not a necessity, so this is the case here. He can't have it without a need. Some people, maybe they get a small cut and they put a bandage on their finger, and then maybe any after 2 hours the cut stops bleeding entirely, and it's fine. And so when it's time to make wudu, he can't leave the band-aid on anymore. And if it's just a small cut, water's not going to harm it. Many times, maybe these small cuts, after you put the bandage on for some time and it stops bleeding, it's better to take the band-aid off so that it can air out and the likes like this, and help it to heal. So we wouldn't say this is a yani, he's in a state of need now. And if for a small cut, something small is harm, he put his hand under the water normally and the likes like this. So this is not a need. But if he's in a state of need, now it's allowed for him. Now it is allowed for him. If he's in necessity, even more allowed for him. And likewise, that the second condition was, it would not go beyond the need. It would not be any longer or greater. It would not cover more of the body than needed. Likewise, so it would be for a need, and also it would not cover more. It would not cover more than needed to cover the wound. So if a person has a wound, no doubt it's going to have to go beyond the wound, and in order for the band-aid to stick, order for the bandage to cover it properly, it's going to have to go beyond the wound, but not in a manner that's not required or necessary. And it's just enough to take care of the issue. Then we have another point that the people of Nara's mission, any originally was from the issue of the khuf, and that is the time. And with the khuf, if you're a resident, you only have 1 day. And if you're traveling, you have 3 days. And 1 day and a night. And 24 hours. If you're traveling, you have 3 days and nights. But this is with the khuf. But with regards to the jibira, you have?
Need.
You have a need. So it's according to the need, as long as the need. As long as the need is there. For example, somebody had broken their arm, they had the cast put on. So the doctor says, come back in three weeks, we're going to take the cast off. In 3 weeks, he's going to take the cast off. So now he can wipe for 3 weeks. He's got 3 weeks of wiping. But what if he comes back in 3 weeks and the doctor looks at it and he says, oh, no, you need 2 more weeks. He said, well, 3 weeks is up. I can't wipe anymore. Huh? No, he can continue wiping. So long as there's a need, he will continue wiping. There's no limit. We understand this? So long as the need is there, he'll continue wiping and there's no limit. Alhamdulillah. And we've seen likewise with regards to the khuf, what is the portion that's obligatory to wash? Any part of it? The khuf? the majority of the top of the khuf. You have to wipe the majority of the top of the khuf. This is the obligation. You have to wipe the majority of the top of the khuf. If somebody wiped the bottom of the khuf only, the scholars agreed that it would not count. It would not be accepted. And you have to wipe the majority of the top of the khuf. You can't just wipe, for example, the toes, or just run your fingers on the light. You have to wipe the majority. So the best way, what do we say? To have your fingers spread across slightly like this, and open a little bit, and start with the toes all the way up to the shin. Wipe from the toes all the way up to the shin. And whether you do it with both hands at one time, or whether you do the right with the right hand first, and then the left with the left hand second, like this, all of this is allowed. But the point is, you have to wipe the majority of it. You don't wipe the whole thing. You don't wipe the whole thing. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that you wipe the top and the bottom. But Allah knows best according to that which is clear in the evidence that we mentioned yesterday from the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiping the top and not the bottom. He saw him wiping the top and not the bottom. So therefore, this is what we hold fast to. And we wipe the top and not the bottom. We wipe the top and not the bottom. And not the heels or anything else. Just on the top, alhamdulillah. As for the jabira, the people of knowledge, they mentioned you wipe the whole thing. You wipe the whole thing. So if it's a cast, you wipe the whole thing. Both sides. If it's a band-aid, you wipe the whole thing. If it's a wrapped around the whole arm or the foot and the likes like this, you wipe the whole thing. You wipe the whole thing. And just to emphasize, likewise, in this topic here and also in making wudu, when we discuss the issue of wiping, what is intended is wiping while the hands are wet with water. And this may be understood already, but just to emphasize, the hands must be wet with water. Yani when making the wudu normally, and you wipe your head, you have to, the hands have to be wet with water. The hands have to be wet with water. And this is understood in the verse of wudu. And the verse of wudu, Allah, He says, فَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And this verb here, مَسَحَ, is فِعْلٌ مُتَعَدٍ. It takes an object directly. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used the particle harf jar. Yani, and originally in the Arabic language, yani you can use this verb without harf jar. You would say famsahu ru'usakum, like this normally. But here Allah Azza wa Jal, He used the harf jar. Famsahu bi ru'usikum. So Al-Qurtubi in his tafsir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a great benefit. And that is with regards to the ghasl. It's very clear when you talk about washing that there's something that's being washed. Yani that you cannot make ghasl except with water. Except with water. So if there's a ghasl, there's the maqsul and the maqsul bihi. And the thing that's washed and the thing that's being washed with. Meaning that you cannot wash something without water. It's already understood from the verb. But as for masaha, if somebody took a dry hand like this and wiped the table, he would say, masaha al-tawila. Or if he took his hand and wiped his head with nothing on his hand, it's considered wiping his head. So it's not understood from the verb masaha, or from al-mas, that there's something to wipe with, that there's mamsuhun bihi. So for this reason, Allah, He said, famsuhu bi ru'usikum, indicating that there must be something that's wiped with, yani on the hands, and that is the water. Yani famsuhu bi ru'usikum wa ma'a, yani wipe your heads with water. So therefore, whenever we're wiping in the wudu, the hands have to be wet. And we've seen that wiping, what it means, that you just have the wet hands and you run them over the part. You run your wet hands over the part that's going to be wiped. So the water is just going by it. Not until it's like running and dripping off of it. That's called washing. That's called ghasl. So whenever you just run your hands and pass the wet hands across the body part, that's called wiping. So the same thing here, whenever we're wiping on the socks, the hands have to be wet. And then you wipe on the socks. When on the khuf, the hands have to be wet. Whenever you wipe on the cast, whenever you wipe on the bandage, whenever you wipe on the wrap, the hands have to be wet. You have to get them wet. They'll be deb. You wet them and then wipe that, the jabira on all sides. You wipe the jabira on all sides. So this is basically the issue of the jabira. Alhamdulillah. So there are other circumstances likewise that possibly a person he may be in with regards to a wound. So sometimes maybe he will have a wound and there's no jabira. And it's time to pray. You'd have a wound and it's an open wound. Maybe you'd have a wound and it's an open wound. It's not wrapped. It's not. It has no bandage or anything like that. Maybe you have a burn or maybe you have a cut. So on and so forth. So if it's possible to put water on it, if it's possible to put water, for example, if it's on his hand or if it's on his arm, if it's possible to use water there, it's an obligation to use water. If it's possible to use water there, it's an obligation to use water, to wash it. And if it's not possible to use water, but it's possible to wipe it, any of the open wound, the cut, or the burn, he's afraid if he puts water directly on it, it might delay the healing, or it might hurt him and the likes like this. So he doesn't want to wash it. He doesn't want to get water on that part. But it won't hurt him to dampen his hand and wipe it gently. So then if he can do that, then he will do that. You understand? So either he will wash it if he can wash it. This is the open, the uncovered wound. And if he cannot wash it, but he can wipe on it slightly, he will do that. And this will suffice. So he'll wash all around it. He'll wash normally, he'll make the wudu normally. When he gets to that part, he washes all around the arm, all around the wound on the arm. When he gets to the wound, he'll just wipe it slightly with damp hands. He'll wipe it like this. And then alhamdulillah, he has wudu. He doesn't have to do anything else. If he's in a case where he can't wash the wound, nor can he wipe on the wound. It's an open wound, he can't wash it, nor can he wipe on it. Now what he will do? And he sometimes, maybe somebody has a burn on their hand or a burn on their arm, and you can't touch it and you can't put anything on it. You literally can't touch it. You can't put anything on it. Water will harm it. And if you try to wipe on it, it's going to hurt. And it's going to be difficult, and it could also delay it in healing and so on and so forth. So therefore, this one, he can't do anything to it. So how will he deal with this? You wash around it. And then what? Huh? And then you make tayammum. So the one who has a wound on a place, if he's making wudu, for example, he has a wound on a body part of wudu, like his arm, a body part of wudu that has to be washed on the wudu, like his arm. And this particular wound cannot be washed, and it cannot be wiped, and it cannot be covered. It cannot be washed, wiped, or covered. It has to be left open. So what would he do? He'll wash around it. He'll wash around it like normal, and then he'll finish his wudu. And then after that, he makes tayammum for that part. You understand? Because that part's supposed to be washed or wiped. He can't do either one of them. So after he finishes, then he makes tayammum. And that's on behalf of that one part that he was not able to make the ablution with regards to. And Allah knows best. Any question?
Yes.
So when you're washing over your head, you wet your hands and you wash over your head.
You wipe.
So you don't wet your hands again when you do your ears. Can you do your feet with that same, what you wash your head? Can you brush over your boots?
No, you should get water again.
You should get water.
Yeah, for your feet, and Allah knows best. Yeah, you should get water again, and Allah knows best. Yeah. So you wipe your head and your ears all with one water. So you do each body part separately with its own separate water. This is best. These issues here, many of them, there's details, and then we can go into much difference of opinion, but it would become confusing very easy. And likewise, some of these affairs, we will not implement them in our life. And so there may be issues more related to students of knowledge to further understand. But our main purpose here is to have a good understanding of these issues, and also know what, in general, all of the scholars will agree. And that's the best thing. Some of the issues, there's difference of opinion. Some of the scholars may agree or disagree, but we base the evidence, we base the position upon what is closely supported by the proof. But in these issues here, al-masail fiqhiyah, Al-amaliyah, the issues of jurisprudence and the actions of the deen. The fact that all of the scholars agreed that your action of worship is correct, this is something good. If you're in a situation when if you were to ask the majority of the ummah, yani from the time of the four imams, about your action of worship, they're like, no, that's not accepted. And then you come along 1,000 years later, one imam, he said, oh, that's accepted. And which one would you prefer to meet Allah with? Huh? And you understand? So sometimes there are differences of opinions, and no doubt the ulama, they have their ijtihadat, and the ulama, they're respected and they're honored, and their opinions likewise are respected and honored, and they do not follow their desires. But just the general principle, the fact the fact that the majority of the scholars, they're going to agree that you have performed the action of worship properly, and that it would be accepted bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is something good. So especially whenever there's differences of opinion, and the differences are strong, and the issue is not an easy issue. And both positions have very strong points, and when you weigh up both positions in the scale, they are very strong. At this time, you need to avoid the difference is something recommended. To avoid the difference in this type of situation, something is recommended. Not every time will we say, oh, we want to avoid the difference of opinion. Sometimes the difference of opinion is not strong, and the evidence is clear and direct. So then we're going to follow the evidence and not worry about this other one who differed with regards to that. But whenever the difference of opinion is something that's very strong, sometimes there are certain issues, if you study this position, and when you're done, you study this position and you look into their evidence, and when you're done, you follow that way. You're like, this is the right way, this is the truth. And then if you study the next position, and then you look at all the evidences and their statements and their understanding, and then you say, well, no, this one is the truth. So you look at them, and now you don't really know, because of how the situation is going back and forth. Sometimes the evidence is not always clear, or sometimes the hadith, not all of them are authentic, or some of the people have differed with regards to authenticity, so on and so forth. So when it comes to the likes of those issues, the fact that we can back away from that difference, and the people of knowledge of this deen, they will all agree that your action is correct, this is something good and praiseworthy and recommended. We understand this point here? Yes, this is a great benefit. This is a great benefit. Yani, so this is again going back also to knowing, as I mentioned before, the importance of knowing the ijma'at and the ikhtilafat, knowing the places and in the positions. Yani, and again, we're talking about al-masail, al-fiqhiyya, al-amaliyya. We're not talking about aqidah or anything about creed. The creed is one. Anybody who differs with us in creed, any if the proof is established against them and they continue upon their way, they will be at least at minimum an innovator. they will have fallen into innovation by opposing the principles of aqidah and creed. Yani, like the Khawarij and like the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah and like the Qadariyah and the Jabariyah and the likes like this, and Jama'at al-Tabligh and Ikhwan Muslimun, they have opposed principles of creed. So therefore, this opposition in one principle in creed takes them out of the Sunnah. And if they're not careful, it can take them out of Islam likewise, like some of the Sufiya that go to extremes worshipping the graves. This is creed. These issues here is not creed. Yani, and the origin, it's about actions and deeds. Actions and deeds. So in these issues here, we find the four Imams, and other than them, they're differing. And this is based upon how they understand the evidences and the evidences that have reached them. So, and this is the whole topic that we're talking about now. So to know in these issues the places where the ulama have a consensus that the ruling is this or that, this is very beneficial and important. And likewise, to know the places where the ulama have differences of opinions, and then to be able to understand why they differed. Why they differ? This is going to really give a person understanding in the religion. And this is what the scholars, they have mentioned. La yashumu ra'ihat al-fiqh man lam ya'rif al-khilaf. The one who did not know the differences of opinion of the scholars, and he never smelled the scent of jurisprudence and Islamic fiqh. And he didn't know the differences of opinion. So the early scholars, they would memorize, for example, the statements of Athawri and the statements of Awza'i, and they would know where they agreed and where they differed. This is something that they knew right away. Even Imam Shafi, he mentioned rahimahullah that whenever, by the time he went to Imam Malik, he already memorized those books, and he already knew their madahib, and he already knew their differences and the likes like this. Even before, yani, he advanced upon Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is again something very important. So to avoid the fact that the majority of the scholars are going to say that your worship is not good and not correct, and it should be redone. It should be redone or remade, and the likes like this, in general, is something that is recommended to avoid, unless there's a clear proof showing contrary that you can rely upon. And the statements of the scholars are not proofs. And the statements of this, a clear proof, meaning from the Quran or from the Sunnah. This is the proof. The proof is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the proof is in the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if there's a clear proof, then alhamdulillah. And other than that, yani, no doubt the scholars, they're guides and light to the clear proof and the means to understand the clear proof, but their statements are not the proof. So a person should not rely upon any, whenever it's mentioned to him about something, he says, oh, Sheikh so-and-so said this. Unless he's just going to confess to himself and to the people that he's a straight-up blind follower. That's what a blind follower would say. To be able to identify the proofs and see the weight of them in the scale, this is better. This is better. So the one who says, Sheikh so-and-so says this, so I follow that, that's called a taqlid. And in general, taqlid is blameworthy. And likewise, in general, the people of Nadas, they mentioned taqlid is not permissible, except for in rare cases. They say taqlid is like aklul mayta. It's like eating the flesh of the dead. You can only do that whenever you need. You're in necessity. Whenever you're in the state of necessity and you have absolutely nothing to eat and you're dying, then now you can eat the flesh of the dead animals. Of the dead animals. So likewise, in the state of complete ignorance and not knowing which way to go, he can blind follow, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.